Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.
How about them Broncos?
How about them Broncos?
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, the prognosticator. Jimmy the Greek's natural, I've inherited Jimmy the Greek's prognostication crown.
Well, Doug, Rush Limbaugh said today that the whole country was talking about his bold prediction last week.
Wait a minute. Wait.
The Broncos would win.
No, I think we covered this last week contemporaneously with Mr. Limbaugh's commentary.
We covered this because Rush said that there was no guarantee that the Steelers would win.
I distinctly remember him saying on his Friday broadcast to close out the week that he just didn't feel like this was a slam dunk win for the Steelers like everybody
thought. That is not a bold prediction. Now, what would a bold prediction sound like? Let's hear this from last week's show at Bob Enyart Live, Tuesday and Thursday. Yeah,
I remember I started out the show threatening to make a bold prediction.
Yeah, and I thought it was about the caucus, and it wasn't. It was about something more important.
Something far more important, and that would be the Denver Broncos versus the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you right now, I'm feeling beat up this week. Because all of the sports announcers who beat up Tebow, and they came around when he was on that winning streak.
Right.
And now they've all fallen down,
they're back
to their same old routine.
He can't play
and all of that.
Rush Limbaugh was asked to predict, but why don't you tell us your prediction?
Well, the Denver Broncos will defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Whoa.
Yes.
Now, that's a bold prediction.
That was a bold prediction.
You didn't equivocate.
No, I believed.
And so what we should do is we should talk about some of the NFL records.
Well, let's do that.
And some of the other records.
But I need to thank your dear wife, Cheryl. Last night, as I was reveling in the Facebook wave after wave. It was so awesome.
It was all fun,
and
right?
And your wife, Cheryl, put a posting up on Facebook. She said, I'm so glad I've got more Tim Tebow posts on my page than Ron Paul posts, finally. It was just so refreshing.
That was fun.
Oh, man.
And if anybody out there uses Facebook regularly, Cheryl, I'm sure she would friend someone who said, right, Cheryl Enyart.
Oh, yeah.
Enyart.
Uh-huh.
She's very friendly.
Yes.
She doesn't turn people down.
No, she's good on the internet.
Yeah, and she doesn't diss people just because they disagree and unfriend them.
No, she doesn't unfriend them.
No.
So it's she fun. Will debate, though.
It's fun. Anyway, that was a good one.
It was awesome.
Tebow. In fact, more Tebow. Twitter last night after the win in overtime against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Twitter announced that there were 9,400 tweets per second about Tim Tebow winning the playoff game.
Wow. I was going to say 9,000 is a lot of tweets.
9,000 tweets per second.
Oh, yeah. Can I give another update on another Twitter-related story?
Go ahead.
Because you remember when the Denver Broncos were defeated by the New England Patriots?
Yeah.
Bill Maher issued a vulgar, blasphemous tweet.
You're being redundant.
Yeah.
Bill Maher, vulgar, blasphemous.
Right. And I know you
It was just a Bill Maher tweet.
You have sat across the desk from Bill Maher. You have looked into the eyes of evil.
And so have you.
Right. We know
I'm
who this
politically
guy is.
Incorrect, ABC.
So I went to the Twitter stats, and I, at that time of that tweet, Tim Tebow had about 600,000 followers, and Bill Maher had about 900,000.
And that's when you began urging people to follow.
Absolutely.
Tim Tebow.
Everywhere
because
I could get on
the airwaves.
Because
even if you're not a tweeter, you can still follow someone relatively easily.
Right. Even if you're not a twit, you can still
You could.
just follow him on Twitter just so he can catch and eclipse Bill Maher.
And you should do this before the merger comes. The merger. Big merger between Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. There's it's going to be called UTwitface. But before that happens,
the one-stop shop.
Before, people could find, right?
I want to encourage all Christians and Bronco fans to go onto Twitter and just you search Tim Tebow and click follow. It's easy. Because as of today, Tim Tebow has 894,000 and Bill Maher, the dark eyes of evil, has just a little over 900,000.
So Bill Maher is still in the
lead. Ahead of Tim Tebow. And that is a sign of where Western civilization is, well, we're in trouble, folks.
Tim Tebow was drafted, what, in April? A year ago.
April a year ago. Yes.
April a year ago. So we're coming up on 2 years.
Yes.
And Bill Maher has been a nationally syndicated
for 20
ABC
years.
For 20 years, 30 years. So
I suppose you could look at it that way.
Yeah.
That's a glass half full kind of way to look
at it.
Right. I like that. But we need to see Bill Maher defeated in the Twitter scape.
There will be hope for civilization,
Western civilization. Some hope.
Okay, so we could follow Tim Tebow on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Doug, how about some of the records? It's fun because Tebow is still a new quarterback. I mean,
he's a young kid who hasn't played a full NFL season yet.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
so here are some.
Have I mentioned he's a homeschooled Christian young man?
Homeschooled Christian who thanks the Lord Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
right,
whether he wins or loses.
Yeah, whether win or lose.
And that's the way you do it, right? In the Bible, you don't thank God just when you win.
No.
You thank him all the time.
Amen. And Tim Tebow does, and even the, let's just say, less than church-going folks who run ESPN, they're just less than regular churchgoers. They have to play it. Mm-hmm. They have to play, I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love that.
Yeah, it is exciting to talk about football for a moment.
Yes.
I think Tebow, now, I don't know that there are official records that have been acknowledged by the NFL, but I think he's got the most yards per completion in a playoff game ever.
Ever in the history of the NFL? What is that, like a 90-year history?
Now, wait a minute. Drop the playoff game. Right. I think this is the most yards per completion in any NFL game ever in history, perhaps. Unofficial.
That's unofficial, but we're waiting for word.
But in a playoff game, for sure. But and do you know how many yards per completion? Do you know? Like, from memory.
Of course, because the numerology is just as magical as the whole evening last night.
It was fun, incredible. Right? It was the John 3:16 game.
Well, John Fox is the coach, by the way.
And John Elway.
And John Elway's involved. It was the John's 3:16.
It was the John's 3:16 game because Tebow threw for 316 yards.
An average of?
He had 10 completions. So that's an average of 31.6 yards per game. You know what's funny about that, Doug? That's a new NFL record.
Wow.
The most yards per completion of any game in history. And how many people know what the old record was?
You know, I was just thinking that's one of those esoteric stats that you hear at 1 o'clock on ESPN that nobody ever...
Nobody knows, and even after you hear it, everyone forgets
it. Yeah, the color commentator uses that just to fill time, you know?
Right.
But now...
There are going to be more than a million people who will know the NFL record for the most yards per completion because it's the John 3:16 record.
There you go.
It's the 316 yards divided by 10.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks to the decimal system.
Yeah.
And 10 fingers and 10 toes. So we'll all know. I mean, perhaps until the second coming.
Yeah.
We're all going to know the NFL record for the most yards per completion.
Amazing. You know, that's we might want to take time, Bob, since I happen to have a Bible right here. Just to remind the audience of just what John 3:16
says. If we're going to do that, then warning, Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered.
So there.
Yeah.
John.
FCC.
The Gospel of John, the third chapter in the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Wow. That's a powerful verse because in one sentence, it sums up the gospel of Jesus Christ, that men are perishing, but God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and was raised from the dead.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, at American Right to Life's website, if you Google the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think it's interesting, Doug, that climbing in the Google rankings is a page on American Right to Life's website, of all things, the gospel, AmericanRightToLife.org/the gospel. And there is a link there to, do you remember the Super Bowl ad that was rejected? It was a great ad. Look up 316.com. And it's a bunch of guys watching a football game, and there the quarterback has in black under his eyes, John 3:16. And now there's the Tebow rule in the NFL that you can't put Bible verses under your eyes. Oh, that's understandable.
They have a rule for that?
There's
Is it for any type of lettering or calligraphy?
Well, you can't put Allah is not God and Muhammad is a false prophet.
Okay,
you can't put that either,
so they're
but
equal.
That wouldn't fit. So you can't put John 3:16. And it's called the Tebow rule, even though it might have been, you know, before Tebow, I'm not sure, aside from Tebow. But it's called the Tebow rule. So there at American Right to Life's page on the gospel, which there's a link to on their homepage, is a link to that old Super Bowl TV ad that was rejected. It's a great ad, and they have a great presentation of the gospel.
As does Mr. Tebow. Did I mention that he's a homeschooled Christian?
I forget if you mentioned that, but
folks are aware of that.
Because what he did last night is so typical. He takes virtually no credit. You know, he was asked about the game. He says, my teammates make me look good.
Yeah.
And that is just so cool. Whereas, you know, Tom Brady, we're going to play against Brady, right?
Oh, the Timmy Tommy Bowl 2, they're calling it.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't make that up. I stole that from someone on ESPN.
And there are interesting aspects of that game coming up Saturday night.
Lots.
For one, Tom Brady's offensive coordinator has announced he's leaving the Patriots.
He took offense because I think Tom cursed him out a few games ago.
On national television.
It was pretty
during
ugly.
A game. It was ugly.
Yeah, if you were
and
a lip reader, it was, yeah.
But he's going to make a lot of money. He's going to clean up the whole mess at Penn State.
Try to rescue Penn State, yeah.
Right.
Well, he's got a handful there.
Yeah.
I don't envy him that. But also, wasn't Josh McDaniel, isn't he now somehow involved with the Patriots?
That's fun. He's an assistant coach. He'll be on the sidelines, and he's the one who drafted Tebow
and
Demaryius Thomas with that catch in overtime.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a lot of fun. And, Doug, ESPN produced a documentary series, The Year of the Quarterback.
Yeah.
And they've got one on Tom Brady and one on Tim Tebow. It's a one-hour documentary. It is simply extraordinary.
Yeah? Oh, I want to see
it. It is so worth seeing. Now, they've already aired it. It's available on DVD. But we recorded it at our home.
Oh.
And watching it with the kids, with our boy. Our boys all play sports.
Yeah, cool.
Hockey and snowboarding. And it's just so fun to see this extraordinary commitment to excellence. Did you know that Tim Tebow is a Christian homeschool kid?
I've heard that.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, folks, and I know you might think I bring it up too much, but for those of you out there who do not homeschool, you simply cannot comprehend the level of sacrifice that families make.
Right. And especially moms.
The moms.
Because dad is usually off making money.
Yes. Working. And moms, it's just... You just can't even comprehend it unless you do it. And then also there's the social stigma. You have to explain yourself every time you interact with one of your children's adults, like at my daughter's karate class, maybe you at the hockey rink.
Yeah, right.
Every time you interact, you have to almost defend yourself against people because, you know, you're
considered... they'll say, aren't you concerned about socialization? And then we say, that's our number one concern. That's why we don't send them to public school.
Right. We don't want that.
And it used to be that homeschoolers would win like spelling bees, you know, in debate.
Yeah, contests. Geography bees, debate.
Yeah. And so now winning NFL playoff games, it's not more important, but it's more interesting
to
pop culture.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many. I've had a few debates on Facebook with anti-homeschoolers. And at some point, I always get in the comment, that's why your kids will be working for my kids.
Oh, but
some point in the future.
That's harsh, Doug. But it's...
well, we'll see, won't we? Time will tell.
We will see. Now, by the way, longest touchdown pass in overtime history for the entire league. Not
really?
Just playoff overtime.
Now, I find that hard to believe. Have we double and triple sourced that?
Well, we'll check.
That's amazing.
We'll check with a sports statistician,
because,
Darryl Burkey.
There's typically an overtime game or two every week in the NFL. Mm. I'd say there's an average of one a week. Mm. And how long has the NFL been around? 90 years?
What other records? Now, I'm not sure if Tebow led the NFL in rushing per game this season.
No.
But I'd guess that he did. I haven't seen that. There will be a website put up by someone who will list the Tim Tebow records and compare them with other great quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
That will happen eventually. It's sort of hit or miss out there on the internet right now.
Now, so far this season, according to statisticians here working feverishly behind the scenes, Tim Tebow is second most rushing yards for a quarterback this season, behind only Cam Newton, who was the number one overall draft choice for the Carolina Panthers. Now, the difference between Cam Newton and Tim Tebow is that Tim can rack up more yards next week, but Cam is done for the year.
He's done.
But he's a great quarterback.
You know, during the draft, I haven't watched the NFL since 1999.
I remember.
Denver Bible Church was planted January 1st, the year 2000, and that's when I stopped watching, 1999.
Yeah, that was right after the high water mark.
Yeah, you know, I avoided a lot of the misery of Bronco fans. I just avoided it all.
Yeah.
And so now we're back this year. But apparently when the NFL draft comes around, they have the college players all get together and they compete. And they run and they jump and lift.
The combine. Records.
And apparently, Tim Tebow has two all-time NFL combine records, one for the vertical leap. And I've tried this, and I can't jump. And one for bench pressing.
Wow.
Do you know what those records are? Do you have that? It's 38.5 inches vertical leap.
Now, I may have challenged that record last night jumping over my coffee table. Just so you know, I have a lower back injury from jumping over my coffee table. I was approaching
that. 38.5 inches. Now, I went to public school. That's over 3 feet.
Man.
Vertical leap. And
that's amazing.
Bench pressing 416 pounds. And we're talking about a quarterback. Doug, what's so fun watching Tim Tebow play is that he just strong arms these defensemen. Giant. What quarterback just runs over defensemen? He didn't get sacked once last night, not for a lack of trying.
No.
On the Steelers' part.
No, Steelers are a good defense. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's been known. He's a big guy. He's been known to run over a few linebackers.
That's actually the only reason Tebow had a good game is because Roethlisberger had an ankle injury.
That's right. Roethlisberger was injured, so he wasn't able to make any of those great defensive plays that he's typically known for on any given Sunday.
He's not stopping known for defense.
That's right.
Oh, so you're
He plays for the offense.
So what point are you making?
I'm making the point that the Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos defeated the number one defense in the league, I believe, for yards allowed. They were the number one. And I think they were number one in several different categories. They were even talking about the revival of the Steel Curtain earlier in the year, the legendary Pittsburgh defense.
The towel.
That terrible towel was out. Yeah. I mean, the Pittsburgh defense was no joke. And Ben Roethlisberger was not on the defensive line.
He wasn't.
No.
He wasn't.
And by the way, I think he scrambled himself. He scrambled a couple times. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this Ben is a tough guy.
Yeah, he is tough.
He scrambled.
Now, and tough that he lost, really. Because I'm not a fan. I don't know a lot about NFL players.
Yeah.
But, you know, being a news talk show host.
Sure.
His name pops up now and then. We pretty much ignore it.
Yeah.
But you just Google Roethlisberger.
You don't want to look.
You don't want to see what word comes up next.
You don't want to have one of
your
kids.
Google search.
No, you don't want to have one of your kids looking over your shoulder when you Google Ben Roethlisberger.
It's a bit gross.
But we'll just leave it at
that. You know, the records that Tim Tebow has been setting, he'll be compared against John Elway, of course.
Oh, sure.
and rightly so. Well, the Broncos had a record for passing yards in a playoff debut that was set by John Elway in 1983. I remember that game. You know, I was at the Broncos game, the snowball. Remember the snowball?
I've heard of it, but I wasn't. I wasn't.
I was there, and I was in the section of stands where the snowball came from. Another pastor in Denver, Eddie Cook, brought me to the game.
Oh, wow.
And I did not throw the snowball because I had an operation that day.
Oh, okay.
I was in the hospital that day with invasive surgery.
So you weren't chucking any snowballs.
And that night, I was at the game.
Wow.
I was not going to miss the game.
You're a tough guy.
And so I couldn't have thrown that snowball, but and that was a sad thing. But Elway passed for 123 yards. That was a Broncos record for a debut in a playoff game. And by the way, did we win that? I
forgot. The Broncos lost to the Seahawks that day.
We lost that day.
In fact, people were starting to say, maybe John Elway can't play in this league. Maybe his – no, I don't think they said that.
No, but – and Tebow broke that record last night. He broke that 123-yard record.
Yeah, he more than doubled it.
He more than doubled it.
And they won the game.
And he broke it in the first half. And they won, and it wasn't against the Seahawks. It was against the Steelers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's fun. This season, Tebow was the first quarterback to throw for over 300 yards against the Steelers.
Oh, that's right. The Steelers had held all teams to, wow.
Yeah, and remember when they had their six-game winning streak? That was fun.
Oh, do I remember.
In the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And it's been said that that was really because of the defense, which the Broncos' defense has been,
amazing. And during the streak, they were amazing.
And they were amazing, but Tebow kept the offense on the field for 3 minutes more than the defense on average throughout those six games.
So the defense had time to catch their breath, right?
Yeah, and yeah.
Time to get in there and get it done.
Yeah. So it's all been a lot of fun, and the records that Tebow's been setting, including best-selling jersey
from all time.
Of all time in the NFL, not for one team, of all time in the NFL from the month that he was drafted to this day, if I recall, last time I checked, and it's got to be brisk sales for January so far.
Yeah, I think things
the new year. So it's all been fun, and it's fun to have someone that our kids could look up to, a role model. And Doug, when I look at Christians in the media and they make statements about whatever they're asked, and so often we cringe. I'm sure I say things that Christians cringe when they hear. When they have their radio on. I'm sure that happens.
That's been known to happen.
But I often think that, oh, man, why did he say that? Why did he say this? Why don't they get Doug McBurney or Bob Inyard to be a speechwriter? But when I hear Tim Tebow speak, I think there's no way I could help improve his presentation of the Christian life and the Christian worldview. It's just so extraordinary and so encouraging.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So praise God.
And I think it's a direct result of his mom and dad raising him right, keeping him out of the government school system until Tim had his legs under him, so to speak.
Yeah.
His had some maturity before he was cast into the
because
university system there in
Florida. I think it was in the New York Times about Tim Tebow and his faith. A few weeks ago, they said, how many young athletes in America have their opportunities lost because of immorality, because of drunkenness, because of sexual behavior, because of criminal behavior. Mm. This is in the New York Times, or was it Wall Street Journal? I forget which. It might have been the Journal. And I'm sure it was the Journal. And they said, you can't discount Tim Tebow's faith in Jesus Christ.
No way.
Of course not. And Tebow last night, he said, more important than this victory was this gal that he was taking out after the game, who's had 70-some surgeries and a really difficult life. And he said, her victory was way more significant than our victory.
Tim has developed a reputation for the post-game. He always seems to be doing some humanitarian activity after every game, win, lose, or draw.
Right.
He knows what's more important. And what I love is that he's showing other people what's more important, and the media can't shut him down.
Yeah.
You know, and the media can choose to ignore people.
Right.
But they can't choose to ignore Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
He's in your face.
It's been so fun. And speaking of the New Hampshire primaries.
Yes. Let's get to the New Hampshire
tomorrow, you know, it's sad that Mitt Romney is doing so well. But Rush Limbaugh, after he made his bold prediction that the Broncos would beat the Steelers, he did say something insightful that's been repeated this weekend. And that's the Democrats want Mitt Romney to get the nomination.
Really?
The Obama administration, they want Mitt Romney to get the nomination. But the people, and he said, who are they most afraid of? It's the people that they destroy, the people they try to destroy.
Okay, so that you could start with Michelle Bachmann.
Oh.
You could go to Sarah Palin.
They hated Bachmann, right?
Hated Bachmann.
Now, she's out. But remember what every late-night comedian said about her husband? That he was a homosexual.
Oh,
do you remember
right,
that?
Right, because he had a ministry actually reaching out trying to help homosexuals.
Right. And Sarah Palin, just a mockery and mocking her children her Down syndrome child and all that. Because if they think that a candidate could excite the base, the pro-life Christian base, that's what they're afraid of.
Yeah.
Not of a Mitt Romney who's pro-abortion, pro-homosexual marriage, pro-government, social,
not just
healthcare.
Pro, Bob, not just pro everything you said. He's actually enacted these things administratively. He's done it.
Way more than Obama or Hillary.
Yeah, they're not afraid of
so that. They're not. They prefer to run against Mitt Romney as compared to anyone who actually is different than Barack Obama.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great point. And
well, I have a political theory.
Yeah.
And I think Ronald Reagan proved it.
Yeah.
Is that swing voters, independents, the people that everyone tell us will decide the election.
Right.
I think that in times of peril and economic trouble, they will break for a social conservative. They will.
They will, especially when he comes across as a man of principle, like Ronald Reagan did come across.
He did come across that.
As a man of principle. I mean, he said the unthinkable. He said that the Soviet Union was evil.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how inane that sounds to the pop culture?
Whoa.
That communists are evil? What are you talking? He said they were evil.
Right.
He said we should have no federal energy policy.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you talking about? We should do away with the Department of Education. I mean, some of that is just exaggerating. But I wish we would have.
Yeah.
But he said things on principle, and that attracted people who were confused.
Right.
The only reason they're in the middle is because they're confused.
Sure, and that's what the Democrats are terrified of, is a candidate with principles who can not only energize the base, but he can swing voters over his way.
Yeah.
So they want Romney bad.
Yeah. So Rick Santorum is looking forward to South Carolina. We'll see if there'll be another personhood town hall.
Yeah.
That could be. And the March for Life is coming up all over the country. And in Denver, it's on Saturday, most places.
Yep.
It's on Saturday, January 21st at noon. In our case, on the steps of the courthouse. I can't wait, Doug. I'm going to be there.
Be there.
God bless you.
Marriage is the very foundation of human society. But it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.